Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're here. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or guest speakers open the Bible and help us explore what it means to follow Jesus in everyday life. Whether you're listening from here in Airdrie or somewhere else around the world, our hope is that these messages encourage you, strengthen your faith, and draw you closer to Jesus. Thanks for being part of the Hillside family. As family, we go.
Easter is one of the times of year where a lot of people show up at church. And you can look around right now and see a lot of people showed up for church today. Sometimes it's family tradition. It's what we do. We've been doing it since I was a kid, and we just continue to make a point of being here at Easter. Sometimes it's family that a brother or a sister or cousins or mom and dad or whoever we're here visiting, so we've come with them. Sometimes it's family pressure that says, you are coming to church with me whether you want to or not. It's Easter. Sometimes it just feels like church is the right place to be. And so no matter what brought you here today, I want you to know I'm really glad you're here. I'm really grateful for these opportunities to come together as a church family, as one big church family. There's no 9 a.m.ers here, and there's no 10:45ers. We're all 10:30s today. And so I'm so grateful for your willingness to come and give of your Easter Sunday some time to come and worship together and to be together as a church family. But I want to start in maybe an unexpected place. Not assuming anything. Not by jumping straight to a conclusion. But I want to start by asking you a question that you're probably not prepared to have to answer on Easter Sunday. I want to ask you the question, what if none of this is true? What if none of this is true? What if the reason we come to celebrate on Easter Sunday is because it's the day that we mark the resurrection of Jesus Christ? What if that never happened? What if the resurrection of Jesus didn't happen? What if this is just a story that's been passed down? A tradition that people hold on to because it's meaningful, because it's comforting, because it's familiar, because it's just what you've been told since you were little. And so it's just what is because I was told it's what is. And if we're honest, this is a real question for a lot of people. Even people who grew up in the church, people who grew up around the church, even people who want it to be true. What if it isn't true? It's pretty unbelievable. What if it's not true? But the interesting thing about that question is that the Bible doesn't shy away from it. The Bible doesn't say, don't ask that. The Bible doesn't say, as a follower of Jesus, you're not allowed to ask questions like that. Instead, in the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul actually asks that very question. What if this isn't true? The Apostle Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says that if Christ has not been raised from the dead, then our preaching is useless. And so is your faith. In other words, if the resurrection didn't happen, if Easter Sunday isn't marked by something, then this whole thing falls apart. Because our faith isn't just built on good advice. It's not just meant to be a series of inspiring ideas. It's not meant to be a philosophy that you can take and apply to your life and then things will be better. You can live a better, more fulfilling life. That's not what our faith is meant to be. Instead, it's built on a claim. The claim that Jesus didn't just die, Everybody dies. That's not significant. That's not groundbreaking. It's not just that Jesus died, but that he rose again. And Paul, in a moment of honesty, says, if that didn't happen, then none of this matters. And I think that's important for us to understand. Because it means that we're not asked to just never ask a question. We're not told, just believe because we told you. We're not told, just, it is what it is, and it just is what it is. But it's actually inviting you to consider something seriously, to wrestle with it honestly, to ask the question, did this happen? Because if it didn't, then this is just another story. But if it did, that changes everything. Paul goes on to say after that, but Christ indeed has risen from the dead. Not maybe, not symbolically, not in a spiritual sense, not in a metaphor, not if we remember him that he never really died, it says it actually happened. That Jesus died, and then he rose. And if that's true, that changes everything. Because now we're not talking about a teacher who did some good things. We're not just talking about someone who inspired people. We're not just talking about someone who lived an interesting life and we can read about them. We're talking about someone who defeated death. And that changes what we do with everything else that he said. Because if Jesus has power over death, then Jesus has power over life. Paul goes on to say, for since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. And he says, for as in Adam all die, so as in Christ all will be made new, or made alive. In other words, death is a part of our story. We all feel it. Not just physically one day, but even now, in brokenness, in loss, in things not being the way that they should be. But Paul says that that's not the end of the story. Because through Jesus, life enters back in. Real life. New life. And not just hopefully, maybe someday far off in the future, but now. And this is where Easter becomes something more than just a thing we remember. It becomes something that matters. Because if Jesus is alive, then sin doesn't get the final word. Your past doesn't have the final word. Death doesn't even have the final word. Because he lives, there's more to life than what you've experienced. Because he lives, there's more than what you've carried. Because he lives, there's more than what you've been told about yourself. And this is where everything begins to grow from a neat story to something much, much bigger. Because this is no longer just a question to think about. But it becomes a reality that we need to step into, that we need to respond to. Because if Jesus has really rose from the dead, then this isn't just something that happened back then. It means something for us and for our lives right now, today. Because the resurrection isn't just proof of what Jesus did. It's the confirmation of who he is. that what happened on the cross actually meant something. That the forgiveness of sins that he preached is real. That the new life that he promised, that he said he had come to bring us, or to give us life, and not just life, but life more abundantly, that that life is possible. This isn't just a story. It becomes an invitation. Because the Bible tells us that through Jesus, we can be forgiven. Not partially, not temporarily, fully. Not because we've earned it, but because he paid for it. And that means that the weight of guilt, the weight of shame, the weight of everything you've carried, it doesn't have to define you anymore. The Bible says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That means it says no condemnation, not less condemnation. Not try harder and maybe we'll start to remove bits of the condemnation. None. And that's not because of what we've done. It's because of what Jesus has done. And not only are we forgiven, but we're invited into something new. Jesus said it this way, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Not just exist, not just get by, but live. Real life, new life, a different kind of life. And this is where it's really important for us to understand something. Because this is not just something you achieve, but it's something that's given to you. You don't work your way into it, you receive your way into it. Because this has never been about people getting their lives together. This has never been about five steps to live a better life. It's about God coming near to us, making a way for us, and inviting us in. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, not to condemn the world, but to save it." And that includes you. Not a future version of you. Not a cleaned up version of you. But you. Right now. Today. And because he lives, this is available to you. Forgiveness. Freedom. New life. Not someday. But now. And this is where it becomes personal. Because this isn't just supposed to be something we understand. It's not just supposed to be something we become aware of. Something that we would say, I didn't know that, and now I do, mission accomplished. It's meant to be something that we respond to. Because Jesus didn't rise from the dead so that his story would be memorable. He didn't rise from the dead simply so that 2,000 years ago we would still have reason to talk about him. He rose so that you could know him. So that you could be forgiven. So that you could be made new. So that you could step into a new life. And the invitation becomes simple. To trust him. To receive what he's done. To stop carrying the weight of life on your own and let him carry it for you. And why that's important is because you don't have to have everything figured out. You don't have to clean up everything first. You don't have to fix and justify your past. You don't have to become a better version of me before I'm allowed to come, before I'm allowed to have the conversation. You just simply come, just as you are, Because he lives, this is available to you. Because he lives, you can be forgiven. Because he lives, you can start anew. Because he lives, you can live. For some of us, you never made that decision before. Or maybe you have in the past, but it was a long time ago. And you know it's time to come back. Not to religion, not to trying harder, but to Jesus, to him. And this is your time. If something is stirring in you right now, that's not an accident. That's God at work in your life. So in just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond. And this isn't about embarrassment. No one's going to point you out. I'm not going to make you stand. I'm not even going to make you come forward. This is simply a moment between you and God. Because the message of Easter is this: Jesus died for your sins. And he rose again so that you could have new life. And that new life is something we receive. So today, if you would say, I want to receive Jesus for the first time, or I want to come back to him and start fresh and start new, then in just a moment, I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to count to three. And if that's you, when I count to three, I'm going to invite you to just simply raise your hand. It's just a simple way of acknowledging before God, yes, that's me. The power isn't in the raising of the hand. The raising of the hand is symbolic of the power that's taking place in your life. So I'm going to invite you, if you're comfortable, would you go ahead and close your eyes with me? This is a moment between people and God. It's not a moment for us to be turning around and looking for hands going up. And this is simply a moment of honesty. So today, if you want to receive Jesus for the first time, or if you want to come back to him and start fresh, then on the count of three, would you raise your hand? One. God sees you. Two, his love brought you here. Three, go ahead and raise your hand. And once you've got your hand up, you're welcome to put it back down. It's just between you and God. You can open your eyes. Now, for all of us, and especially those who raised their hand, I want to pray a simple prayer together. There's nothing magical about these words. This is about the posture of our heart. And I'm going to invite all of us to pray this prayer together. I'm going to say a phrase, and then I'm going to invite you to repeat that phrase after me, to speak it out loud, all of us together. And the reason for that is because, again, it's a private moment between these people and the Lord, and so if I say it's a private moment, but then you have to speak out, it makes it a lot less private. But also, because of the reality is, when you come to Jesus, you don't come alone. You come as part of a family. You come into a family. You have brothers and sisters who are sitting all around you this morning. And so we're going to walk as a family together, welcoming our new family members. So together, church, would you repeat after me? Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for my sin. Thank you for rising again. So I can have new life. Today, I give you my life. I ask you to forgive my sin. I receive your grace. I receive your forgiveness. I receive the new life you offer. Help me to follow you from this day forward. Amen. Church, can we just give a round of applause for all those people who raised their hands? And for God being working in church this morning. When Marianne was up earlier, she said she loves Easter because it changed her life. And we celebrate today because there were lives changed today. What we sang earlier in the morning, we said, we're going to see lives change, and God was faithful to that promise. If you prayed the prayer for the first time today, or as a fresh start with Jesus, we want you to know this. Today is the beginning of something new. And we're so glad you're here. And for all of us, whether today was a moment of decision, or just a moment of reflection on your story and all that God has done for you, Easter reminds us of something that we all need to hold on to. That because he lives, there's more available to us than we often realize. More life, more hope, more grace, more love, more acceptance, more family, more community. God has so much for you. Thank you so much for being here with us today. It really does mean a lot to have you with us. If you came with someone, maybe take a few moments before you head off just to connect. And if you're new here today, and you know that there's a number of people here who are new or first time or first couple of times, we'd love the chance to meet with you. But however you came in today, we hope you leave knowing this. Because he lives, you can live. Let's pray together. Father God, we come humbly on Easter Sunday in awe of what this day is, of what this day represents, in awe of who you are and what you've done for us and what you've given to us. And so God, I thank you that today, that we remember that the sacrifice of Jesus was not just a tragic piece of history, but it's the day where everything changed. And so, God, I thank you that because of Easter, we are invited into new life. Because of your love and your grace and your forgiveness, God, we are invited to walk differently. We are invited to live differently. We are invited to think differently. We are invited to new life. And so, God, I pray for each one of us here today, God, wherever we're at in that journey of new life, if it just started today, or if it's been going for years and years and decades, God, would you give us new life again today. God, I thank you that because you live, we are given the gift of new life. On Easter Sunday, God, we are so, so grateful for the way you love us. We are so, so grateful that you made a way for us to come back home. God, I thank you for Easter. I thank you for today. I thank you for my church family. God, I thank you for the way you love us. And I thank you for all the things you've given us. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, we have a prayer team that'll be available. They've got the green lanyards, and they'll be around. And if you raised your hand, especially if you raised your hand for the first time today, you can come and find me, or you can come and find Pastor Lori or Pastor Matt, or really anybody with a green lanyard, and they'll be excited to walk with you through these next steps. But we are so glad to receive you and to welcome you. But if you'd like prayer for anything, a green lanyard means that we are glad to pray with you. But our Easter service has come to a close. And so we're going to close our service with just a few things. First, church, we love you. I am so in awe of how full this room is right now. I don't know, like, I with the lights, it's hard for me to see. I have no idea if you can look around and see. But my goodness, there is a lot of people. And the kids aren't even in here. There's so many people here today. And that's not, the celebration is not like, look how many people we gathered. That's not the celebration, to be like, wow, can you believe, what was your Easter Sunday attendance? Well, let me tell you what mine was. The reason why this is so significant is because as you look around the room, this is your room full of your brothers and sisters who love you. And when we say, we love you, all of you, if it's your first time here, we love you. And there are some here who've been going to this church longer than I have. And if you don't know, I've been going to this church for 32 years. And if you've been going to this church, Bob and Carol are here, they've been going to this church longer than me. Bob and Carol, we love you. And so, if you're Bob and Carol, or if it's your first day, or wherever you fall in between, we love you. You are a family, our church family. God has brought us, this motley crew of weirdos and strange people, together. And we love each other, and your church loves you. And second, we believe in you, that we are so... We don't look around this room at our brothers and sisters and go, really? This? But I am in awe of every single one of you and all that God wants to do in you and through you. God has so much for you, for your story, and for your life. And we are so glad to be brothers and sisters together. Church, we love you. And we believe in you. We'll close our service with this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Happy Easter, Hillside Church. Happy Easter. Thank you for being here. We love you. You don't need to rush off. We've got the theater for another hour and 11 minutes. So take your time. Thank you for being here. We love you. We are so grateful to be family together. Happy Easter. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting our church in the main menu, then our leadership from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know His hope, know His purpose, and know His power together. As family, we go.